This is Moving Forward, the official podcast of the Des Moines Dream Team. Finding the confidence and determination to set and then work toward accomplishing a big life goal can be overwhelming at any age, and that's especially true when you're a teenager. Each week on the Moving Forward podcast, we'll feature a member of the Dream Team who's doing exactly that. We'll learn what motivated them to join the team, talk about their biggest fears and anxieties. We'll explore how they find the grit and determination to step out of their comfort zones and chase one of their biggest dreams. And we'll talk about how that process could help them accomplish other big life goals. And now, here's the host of Moving Forward, Scott Matter.
Hey everyone, this is Scott Matter, and welcome to Moving Forward. We're recording episode 7 of Moving Forward from the RagRite Podcast Studio. For the first time this season, the Dream Team started concentrating on hill training this week. On Thursday night, the team conquered the Norwalk Hill, which is a long hill with an 11% incline. And earlier this morning, the entire team easily rode to the top of Sailorville Dam Hill. I wish we had some audio that I could share with you from the victory cries as each group made it to the top of the Sailorville Dam Hill, which is one of the legendary hills on which we train. I'm really excited about this week's episode. First, we'll talk with Julie Figenshue. Julie is president of the Dream Team's board of directors, and she'll talk with us about why the success of the Dream Team is so personal and so important to her. Then we're going to speak with MJ, a sophomore at Des Moines North High School in Des Moines. MJ is just 16, but she's already completed 2 RagRites. We'll talk with her about how she is always able to have such a positive attitude and about how her experience on Dream Team has already helped her successfully complete another big life goal. Julie, thank you for joining us on Moving Forward today. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. It's an honor to be here.
Your father, Jim Green, or Greeny, as everybody knew him, started Dream Team 28 years ago, and I know that Dream Team was a big part of who he was. Tell us about your dad.
Well, that's a big question. He had a lot of great attributes, and one of them was always giving back to community. He loved Iowa, he loved youth, he loved biking, and all of that fit together really well. And that's how the Dream Team became part of his life. He always wanted to help those enjoy what he enjoyed, and seeing Iowa and biking and all the skill sets that biking brought to you, he wanted to share with others. And so that's how the Dream Team was born.
Do you know, how did he decide that he wanted to start the Dream Team?
He actually saw another biking club, and I can't tell you for sure which state it was in, but because he was the director of RagBri, he was able to go and visit other states and see what their biking programs were like. And he visited one, and there was a biking club for youth, but it was for youth that were advantaged, meaning, they had everything that they needed, and it was a group of highly successful people that did it. And I think in his head, he was like, putting together the things he loved, how can I bring this to the youth that aren't going to have this opportunity? How can we get it to people that will really benefit from it, but don't even know it exists? Because 28 years ago, think about the biking community. It was much different than it is today.
Right. I know that your father really loved RagBri, and I've heard that RagBri was a family affair for the Greens. What was RagBri like when your father was overseeing the ride from your perspective?
Intense. Fun, because my mother was involved as well. My mother ran all the merchandise trucks and such. And so dad did the ride and getting the hotel rooms for all the people. My mom did that as well. And so it involved everyone. So there was not a crew like there is a crew now for RagBri. The crew was the family, so he bought pizza. We all unloaded trucks. We all counted cash from the merchandise tent because, it was quite a while ago, right? And so things were very different. But we all knew how important it was to him, and it was part of our lives as well because his work was also his love. The beauty and the depth at which he loved Iowa and he loved biking, was who he was. That was part of it. So we all participated. And so when I say intense, some of it was fun intense. Some of it was, you better be good and stand in line intense, and help with what needed to be helped with. But we all grew to love RAGBRAI and biking.
I've heard a little bit about this, but tell us how he came to the Register family. Was did he actually deliver the papers?
Or? Well, we did. We all had paper routes. What are you talking about? before I was 10, I had a paper route, but you weren't supposed to have a paper before you were 10. No, he worked at the Register in a bunch of different capacities and just fell in love with the biking. So then it became a pretty good fit for him to move. He was a district manager. He was in charge of paper boys and paper girls. So he did lots of different jobs at the Register. He was a lifelong Registerite. I don't know. that's where the majority of his career was with the Des Moines Register.
And I think Dream Team was actually based out of the Register. Yeah. At least they kept their bikes there, too. Is that true?
That's very true. And you had to take elevators up. It was not near as lovely as the new establishment is. They did give them room and space. But for a lot of years, we always struggled to find a home where the kids could store bikes, where they could take off from, that was safe for them. But we always found a place. They always did find a space to call home.
I tell people that Dream Team partly works because of the genius of how it was designed and the process, 5 months of training, being out there on a bike for hours with the youth, having a chance to really get to know them. Every single member of the team gets to know every mentor through that process. We see the kids, the youth, at their most challenging times, and we see them when they're celebrating the best of times. But there definitely is a trust that happens, and it's just fun to watch them, our youth, gain more confidence and figure out that they can do something that they thought was unimaginable just a few months earlier. How have you seen Dream Team evolve over the years?
Well, I would have to say that it is a genius how it is set up, and the kids get a lot, and I've seen it's the mentors. It's the leadership that we've had from volunteers that have kept this organization alive for 28 years. I work in nonprofit. I work in the community. I've never seen anything like it. It is amazing the commitment that the mentors have to these youth. And the youth gain because of that. So I think if you didn't have committed mentors, this wouldn't exist, right? We can find the youth, but the mentors. And so I think it's, the mentors bring their unique perspectives to the organization. And their undying commitment to youth in Des Moines. And I think biking is a really unique way to bring everybody together. And It is truly amazing, the organization and the strength of the organization over the past 28 years.
It is pretty amazing. We're speaking today after just minutes after our Saturday ride ended, and we went up to Sailorville today, and we launched at 8 o'clock a.m. and the last cyclist probably got in today around 2 o'clock. And our season, our rides only get more challenging each week, so it is a big time commitment. We have more than 45 youth and roughly that same number of volunteer mentors on the team this year. Let's talk about Dream Team's future. Where would you like to see Dream Team 10 years from now or even 20 years from now?
That's a great question. I'm just proud that it's still here 28 years later. I have a lot of pride in that. I feel like Dad's looking down all the time and so proud of the diversity and the just the commitment of everyone. Because I know in the beginning they didn't have a mentor for each. It wasn't an equal. Mm-hmm. It wasn't, you know, you have 45 and about 45 mentors, and that's amazing, and that says a lot to the leaders of the organization, which are all volunteer leaders. As a board, as the board president, I did this to make sure that the Dream Team stays around forever. I think we can only build structures and more foundation to make it more solid. I think there's other areas that are interested because it is kind of an anomaly, right? It doesn't exist anywhere else. So there are other cities and states that have reached out that would like to learn more about it. I mean, could we impact youth across the country? That would be something that would be amazing. And I, you know, is it that we share the model? Is it that we share, you know, the foundation of how we did this and go help other cities set it up? The more kids and people we can impact. And as I said to the kids the other night when I was here, when they went off on Monday night, they're the future of biking. They're the future of our community. So let's invest in them. And that's what the Dream Team mentors do. They're investing in the future of our youth and our city. So can we take it to other places?
It's amazing to me, at the end of every season, you could go down the list of our youth and every single one of them has a story about how they've benefited from being on Dream Team. Mm-hmm. And it would be amazing if we could somehow scale that up and even have more people involved, because every single one of them is touched. One of the amazing parts of that's made Dream Team successful is the contribution of the other members of the Dream Team family. And I'm talking about RAGBRAI, Bike World, the YMCA. We couldn't do it all without them either. I know you're very involved in trying to get sponsors and people to help as well.
Correct. And all of the sponsors that you just mentioned were there in the beginning.
Right.
Those relationships were created 28 years ago, and they are still here, and they are still supporting this effort and this work. I think it's one of the most positive things in our community. There's a lot of discord in everywhere. There's a lot of discord. And this, man, you can't get more positive. Kids on bikes with smiles on their faces, knowing that their lives have been changed for the better. It's amazing. And so it's a win-win for everybody involved with this organization. So, you know, sponsors, if someone becomes a sponsor, I can tell you it's going to change your life, because you're going to hear the stories, get to see the kid. I mean, it's just an amazing opportunity for us to come together and to support youth in a really positive manner, which benefits everyone.
Thanks for joining us today and for all that you do to make sure your father's dream lives on through the Dream Team.
Absolutely. Hopefully we'll be talking again in another 28 years.
Oh, that would be great.
Things are even bigger. So thanks, Scott.
Thank you. Bike World is the store that supports the sport. Each year, our friends at Bike World provide a brand new bicycle to every one of our new youth when they join the team. That's well over 600 new bicycles over the past 27 years, and they do so much more on top of that throughout the year. Bike World, Iowa's local bike shop since 1979. RAGBRAI is always there for Dream Team, and they have been a sponsor for 27 years. RAGBRAI is like a big brother or big sister to the Dream Team, providing space within their headquarters from which we base our operations. The theme of this year's RAGBRAI is Home Sweet Home, and the ride promises to be one of the most beautiful in RAGBRAI's 51-year history. If you haven't done so already, go to RAGBRAI.com, get registered, and check out some of the new gear they have for 2024. Joining Nick and me now in the RAGBRAI studio is MJ. Thanks for joining us, MJ. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
Today, the Dream Team did the Dam Hill, D-A-M, as in the Sailorville Dam Hill. And that is one of the toughest hills that we do every year. One of the legendary hills that we do every year. How did you do on the hill today?
Surprisingly, I did so much better than I thought I was going to do. I thought I was going to go my lowest gear and take it slow, but I think I stayed in like the middle of the gears and got up pretty quickly. And so I'm proud of myself for doing that.
Seemed like all the everyone in my group and the groups around me seemed to just easily conquer that hill today. I didn't see anybody walking. Did you see anyone?
No.
That's pretty amazing for the first time this year. And we did 44 miles today.
Yeah.
Pretty good. It was a really nice day, a little windy, but 44 miles, and they get more challenging every time we train. But we went from just doing, 15 miles a few weeks ago to we're up to 44 already. It's pretty amazing. Before we jump into the interview, I want to congratulate you on a huge accomplishment this week. Just a few days ago, you were inducted into the National Honor Society. That's a really big accomplishment.
Yeah, it took a lot of hard work.
Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself. How old are you, and where do you go to school?
So I am 15 years old. I'm a sophomore at North High School, and yeah.
I know that you're involved in a lot of activities. You've been doing Girl Scouts since you were 8. I want to ask you more about this later in the interview, but I know that you joined the Des Moines North swimming team this past year, and this is your third year on Dream Team. Tell us why you do Dream Team.
I do Dream Team because it's very uplifting, especially after all the winter months and it being very cold and dark, and usually that's when everybody's mental health gets really low and it's not good. And then you come right out of February, start seeing the team, start training, and it's just exercise releases endorphins, and I love being happy and seeing other people be happy. And I think Dream Team has really changed a lot about me and a lot about other people especially, and that's why I keep coming back every year.
So this is your third year on the team. You just finished 8th grade, is that right? Or you were in 8th grade?
I was in 8th grade, yeah.
What do you remember about those first days on the team?
I struggled very much. I couldn't bike long distances. The first ride I ever did was 6 miles, and that was my longest ride I've ever done. And that was just to Waterworks Park. And later, I did 40, 50-mile days, did 3 campouts, did an entire week of Rag Dry, and just as the days, they were cold and windy, and I remember one day specifically that I really don't like, but I think I cried a lot because of how hard it was and because of how I just felt like I couldn't do it, and I didn't really have that support system that I thought I needed.
If you were to write a book about your time on Dream Team, what would the title be for that chapter about your first year?
Ooh, that chapter. It would probably be something along the lines of, it's hard, but if you stick with it, you'll get through it.
You were telling me earlier about that day during your first Rag Brine 2022, when the route that everyone had to complete on Wednesday of that week was over 100 miles. What do you remember from that day?
There is a lot that I remember from that day. That was one of my favorite all-time days of Rag Bri ever, and I've only done 2 so far. It was challenging. Our group was a little, slow, and we were trying to get through it. And on Rag Bri, there's another team called the Air Force Cycling Team. One of our mentors went to go get us food, and she came back with this Air Force cyclist, and apparently she met him in the line to get pulled pork or something, and he's like, okay, so I'm going to ride with you guys because why not? So we're like, oh, okay. And at the time I had Shay, Lucy, and Kimmy in my group, and we had a blast with that guy. We got to know him a little bit more and just having so much fun together, and I think we were about mile 80, we were 20 miles out of camp, and me and Shay, we were going kind of crazy. I do that sometimes when I'm on the bike, but we started speaking in Spanish, and Shay does this thing where she will look at somebody and point at them and say something random in Spanish, and she said a couple things, and then she pointed at our Air Force cyclist guy, and she goes, El Queso Grande, and then we forgot his name after that. Because, we're so tired or whatever. And so we just started screaming El Queso Grande. So we dubbed him El Queso Grande. And as we were nearing the end, we were getting swept, and I think we were about 3 miles out of camp, and I just was overwhelmed. I was like, I don't think I can finish. I know I've come so far. I don't know what I can do. And one of the mentors, he gave me a cookie, and he told me that I got this, and we biked into that campsite and had the entire team cheering for us, and we even came up with a song that's like, we are gonna make it. Yes, we are gonna make it. We are gonna make it after all. And I think that was just the best way we could have come into camp, with all that cheering and all the hugs and high fives and great jobs and singing that song. And so,
do you remember who the mentors were that helped you that day?
It was Marty, and I think it was Heidi, but I'm not, don't quote me on that, because I don't know.
Well, Marty's been mentioned by other youth on this podcast before, and Heidi is a mentor who's very popular with the youth as well. So you had good people helping you get through the century ride that day. Somehow, so even though you almost were questioning whether you could make it a few miles before you finished, you powered through that rough patch, finished strong that day. How did it feel when you reached the Dream Team campground and everyone was cheering for you?
It was overwhelming. You know, it was such a good entrance that the mentors had us turn around and go back so that they could record us coming back in. And just being able to talk about that time and being able to just reminisce, just the feeling of happiness, just getting done with one of the hardest days, and then having the entire team helping us put our tents up and get our stuff situated so we could go shower and eat. And it's just like, that's one of the times that I realized, like, this is a family. This isn't just a team. This is for life.
We mentioned earlier that you're involved in a lot of other activities outside of Dream Team. This past fall, you joined the swim team at Des Moines North. Tell us about that experience.
So when I was younger, before I even knew, you know, what high school was, I was about 8 years old, and I joined the swim club, which is basically what the younger kids do. They learn how to swim, and I joined that at East. So I quit that in about 2020 because of, obviously, COVID and a bunch of other, you know, different aspects that happened. And just this year, I started going to North, and I was like, oh, I remember that North has a swim club. I wonder if they have a swim team. And I signed up for the swim team, and it was another one of those things that, like, I thought I couldn't do this. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know how other people do this. And throughout the year, I kept getting encouragement from my friends and family, because when you're in a swimsuit and you're a cyclist, you can see the tan lines. If you're a cyclist, you have tan lines. There's no questioning about that. And obviously my whole swim team saw those tan lines. So they're like, what's that from? So I explained to them that I had just finished my second Ragbri. And they're like, oh my goodness, what the heck? And later on in like our swim meets, I would be like in the corner like, oh my gosh, I don't know. I can't do this 200. I can't do this 500. And I'd have people tell me that I've done 2 Ragbris and I can do this. And that is what got me through swimming that year. And at the very end of the year for a celebration banquet, I got most improved, and mainly because of those people who encouraged me through swimming.
So the Dream Team, that the experience on Dream Team really did help you in swimming.
Oh, yeah.
You told me that you took almost 3 minutes off your time over the course of the season. Is that right?
Yeah. Over all sorts of time, just collectively with all the different events I've done, I took about 3 minutes off.
I want to ask you about something that always makes me smile. I know that you like to belt out the tunes when we ride, and that you're a big fan of Hamilton, the musical. How did that come about?
Well, when I was in eighth grade, like you mentioned earlier, that's when I began Dream Team, and I had to do a project on something in my history class, and Alexander Hamilton just happened to be the person that I chose. And I was like, okay, I know there's a play about this, and I've wanted to watch the play but hadn't had any motivation to do. And I fell in love with that musical so much. And throughout Dream Team, I would be like quietly singing to myself just to kind of get myself through the time. And I had asked Shay if she like knew this musical. And ever since then, I would just belt out lyrics. Like I said, I get kind of drowsy and get just kind of crazy a little bit. And I would just be singing Hamilton and I'd be getting everybody like involved and just getting everybody through the ride.
Do you know the lyrics for every song on that soundtrack?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. What is your favorite Hamilton song?
As I've, you know, still listened to Hamilton throughout the team and all the hills, there's a moment in one of the songs that Aaron Burr goes, "Hamilton faces an endless uphill climb." And I sing that all the time on hills, and it's the song Wait
Do?
For It. Yeah.
It's the song Wait For It?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It's one of my favorites, too. I made a list of my favorites because I knew I was going to be talking to you today. Of course, everybody loves, and I've heard you sing probably dozens and dozens of times, the opening song, Alexander Hamilton.
Yes.
My other favorites are My Shot.
Yep.
I like the comedic tunes featuring King George.
Oh, yeah.
You'll Be Back. It's one of my favorites. And then the one that makes me laugh, I don't know that it's supposed to be funny, but the one that makes me laugh all the time is Skylar Sisters.
Oh, yeah. There's this funny thing with, like, Aunt Peggy. Everybody's, like, always making jokes about Aunt Peggy because right. She's kind of, like, not really that important in Hamilton's story. So it's just, like, Aunt Peggy.
That's awesome. What has Dream Team, MJ, taught you about yourself?
Dream Team has taught me that it's okay to be who I am, and if there are other people who don't appreciate me for who I am, then that's their loss. Especially as I mentioned, I love belting lyrics, and you know, there's people who don't really want to hear that on the team. And like, if they don't want to hear my singing, then well, then too bad. Then plug your ears. I don't care. I am who I am, and you're not going to be changing that based on your judgment.
I like that, but I would also say that you do an amazing job of encouraging and helping other members of your group every time you ride.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Ragbri. What's your favorite memory from riding across Iowa? And you've done it 2 times and you're only 16, which is pretty amazing.
Yes. My favorite memory, like I said, would have to be the Century Day my first year, or both times that I've gotten to the river and just watched everybody hold their bikes up over their head and just get this like wave of relief off their shoulders. Like they just completed this whole week of Ragbri. And like I came back last year, just seeing all the new youth that had originally started where I had started and finishing, it was just very emotional. And just, I was just so proud of every single one of the members on the team.
Tell everybody, so the Dream Team has a ritual when we get to the final town and before we dip our tires. Tell everyone about that.
So we will be about 2 miles out of the dip site and we will line up 2 by 2 and we'll all be having our Dream Team jerseys on and we get these little flags that like to blow off in the wind on our bikes and we will be singing a song. I am trying to remember the lyrics because I remember it.
We are the Dream Team.
Wait, what?
We are the Dream Team.
We are the Dream Team. The mighty, mighty Dream Team. Everywhere we go, people want to know who we are, so we tell them. And we just repeat that the entire way to the dip site. And then there's all sorts of people cheering because we're very well known as a team.
Well, I have been waiting for somebody to sing on this podcast, so thank you for being the first. What is your favorite food on Ragbri?
Oh, yeah. I would have to say cheese has these amazing pizza wraps. I don't like grilled cheese, so going to Say Cheese and having those pizza wraps, so good.
You're not the first one to mention Say Cheese on the podcast, and they're definitely a favorite of a large number of people on this team. MJ, everyone has a superpower. What is your superpower?
My superpower is being able to encourage people through hard, difficult times, especially if I see them how I was years ago and they're in the same spot and I get to encourage them through it and I help them through it. Just being able to help people and seeing how much that will impact them as a person and impact their life. It's just, it makes me feel like so amazing, especially when, you know, they come to me and they're like, thank you for doing this.
You are still 2 years away from graduating from high school. I know you already have some big plans mapped out. Tell us about that.
So my all-time goal is to become a worldwide airline commercial pilot, to be able to fly planes around the world and travel the world while doing something I love. And obviously small steps. I'm taking pilot ground school at Central Campus right now. I'm taking year one. Next year I'll take year two. And then I will work on flight training after that, after I take my ground test.
So you're already working on it?
Yes.
How did you decide that you wanted to be a pilot?
My uncle, my grandfather, and my great-grandfather have all been in the military and had something to do with planes, whether that's an airplane maintenance or flying it. My uncle, he's a Black Hawk pilot. And so,
I did not know that.
Just seeing that and always being fascinated by airplanes, and then finding out that I can actually become a pilot and take ground school at Central, I was like, yes, this is what I want to do with my life.
How long do you think it'll be before you solo for the first time?
Probably a couple years into doing flight training, because flight training's like by the hour, and so it'll take some time until I'm ready to be solo.
Well, as soon as you do that and get your license, or it's okay for me to do it, I hope you promise me that I can be a passenger.
Yes, I promise.
In a plane with you sometime. That would be awesome. You should be really proud of all that you've done so far, and I can't wait to watch as you just keep setting the world on fire. MJ, thanks for joining us today, and good luck with everything you do now and in the future.
Thank you.
All right, that's it for this week's episode of Moving Forward. If you enjoyed the show and have a moment, please give us a rating or review. It'll help us grow. And if you leave a comment, we just might read it here on our next episode. So please do that where you listen to podcasts. You can also email us at dreamteam.movingforward@gmail.com if you have any ideas or suggestions for future episodes. Hit the music, Nick.